up every evening with a big smile on my face, and it never feels out of place. And you're still probably working at a 9-to-5 pace. I wonder how bad that tastes when you see my face. Hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you hell. When you walk my way, hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you hell. Now where's your picket fence, love? And where's that shiny car? And did it ever get you far? You never seem so tense, love. I never seen you fall so hard. Do you know where you are? And
good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. Josh, Jen, and Ed here to discuss Glee. We are sorry we've been gone so long, but Glee's been gone longer.
That's true.
So we
blame
them.
Darn you, Glee, leaving us like that.
But let's see. Between the last episode of Glee and now, we've had Christmas and all the holidays. Just all kinds of madness in life and otherwise. I don't think Jennifer and I have had a free weekend in 3 months.
We have not. That's kind of sad.
Have you been, Ed, since last we spoke?
I've been just school life and I need to record Idol more often. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've severely not been keeping up to date. Like, I'm 3 weeks behind.
Wow. Yeah. I knew you were a little behind, but I didn't know you were that behind. And this is for the new season of Idol, season 9, the worst season ever.
Worst top 12. But this is not an Idol podcast, so
no.
That'll be the end of that.
So, but we're going to talk about Glee. But yes, just right off the top, you can find Ed's other shows, and our show is theoutdoorview.com. Ed, do you have a URL for your other shows?
No, just go into iTunes, type in American Idol 7.
Okay.
I can't change the name. I haven't even changed the logo. That's how uninspired I am by this season.
Our last Gleeful show, we spoke to Stephen Tobolowsky, which was really exciting.
Yay.
Sandy Ryerson from the cast of Glee.
That was so much fun. So
that was really cool. Hopefully people enjoyed that conversation. Yeah, he was a killer dude.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He was really great.
Yeah. And we're back now. We have a Glee episode to discuss entitled Hell-O. Which I assume was a twist on Jell-O.
Ta-da. Well, no. It's the reason they did that is because it gives you hell. And she's like, I'm focusing on the first syllable of the word.
Uh-huh.
I thought that too. I thought the Jell-O thing, but then I was disappointed.
There was no Jell-O in the episode, so I suppose it makes sense. Yours is probably better. sorry about that.
That's
Jennifer's microphone. But before we do get into that, some Glee fun that we participated in during the off season, shall we say? Jennifer and I attended the Paley Fest Q&A with the cast of Glee in Hollywood, and that was something else. That was the entire cast minus every major member of the cast minus Sierra and Brittany.
Yes,
and Leah Michele was not there.
Sierra, yes. Who's Sierra?
Sierra, is that not right?
Santana.
But yes, Matthew Morrison, everybody was there. Even Jesselyn Gilsig was there, which I was kind of surprised by, but I was like, Ed would be so excited.
and
cool.
She was so nice in person.
The writers, the producers, everybody's there. They did a huge Q&A, and they actually showed this episode, Hell-O. So we actually saw this episode about 2 months ago.
I know.
And have been dying to talk about it. And here we are. Finally, we get the opportunity to talk about it. So we're very excited. But you can find videos of the Q&A on YouTube. And Jennifer actually took some pictures while we were there. We tried desperately to get an autograph.
Oh.
We have the two soundtracks that we're going to give away as part of the contest, which we'll mention. We got some great entries into the contest. But we had the two soundtracks that we were going to get autographed because we thought, what a great prize for some listener to get an autographed copy of the soundtrack. And seriously, the mob for autographs was probably 15 people deep.
It was
insane.
It was crazy. I mean, it was a sold out event. So it was 1,900 people. And you could see all the handlers. I mean, the cast and the crew were being so gracious and, you know, staying on the stage and taking pictures and signing everything that they could to these, you know, swarms of people. But you just, after about like half hour, their handlers were just like, we have to go. Yeah. And they're literally dragging them off the stage. But, you know, they got in every last autograph that they could. And there was just, we didn't have a chance. We didn't even get down the stairs fast enough.
Did you read at all about the PaleyFest Q&A, Ed?
No, I was just bitter. So.
Well, it was pretty cool. They said some interesting stuff. Everybody was just so excited to be on this show. Everybody just seems to be having a good time on the show, which kind of echoes the things you've heard already. A woman in the audience asked Chris if she'd go to prom with him.
Or if he'd go
or
to
if he'd
prom.
Go with her.
No, to with her daughter or a girl in the high school, something like
okay.
that.
Okay, and he said no, which I thought was really awesome. And
but he was very gracious about it. He said, you know what, I get these requests all the time, and it's very flattering, but it's just not possible. And he was, you know, he was cool about it, but he just, you know, he wasn't gonna lie to her.
Yeah. And Jane Lynch was really nice. And actually, you might be pleased to know, Edward, that Terry, Jesselyn Gilsig, was absurdly sweet. Was just like painfully nice. Yeah. And
good.
That bothered
good.
Me. and they said that they've never been turned down when asking for the rights to a song. They've only ever, or no, they got
they
turned
have,
down once
couple of
from
times.
Coldplay.
And Brian
or someone
Adams.
Asked for too much money. Brian Adams wanted
Brian
more
Adams.
Money than they would give him.
Oh, well, yeah, they didn't say the specifics, but they just said that he wouldn't.
Well, because they had said, what I thought was kind of interesting is they said that when they ask for a song, they have a set price they will pay. They
mm-hmm.
always pay exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, they said they have one price they'll pay for every song.
Okay.
Every song. And if you won't meet that price, they're like, well, we'll go find our own song. And they're like, you know, no matter how big or small the composer is, they all get paid the same thing.
It's
Brian
the same
Adams
policy
wanted more.
For Idol.
Oh, is it really?
They won't pay more than a certain amount to a thing.
But yeah, so apparently Brian Adams wanted more than they wanted to pay.
Which is crazy.
And Coldplay just said no.
I mean, these you know, the original songs probably like climb the charts on Amazon or iTunes as, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as it's played on the show. So
that surprises me because they like Idol does. I'm pretty sure they have a similar budget. Well,
yeah.
Maybe Glee has lower budget, but that's surprising that Glee got turned down by Coldplay. Because you heard The Scientist this year. I don't know.
Oh, and we've heard tons of Brian Adams songs mm-hmm. on
Heaven.
Yeah. On
Idol. On
so.
Idol, yeah.
Anyhow.
So it was really cool. Again, you can find the videos on YouTube, and they're just an incredibly gracious, great. Bleh. They're an incredibly gracious cast.
Yeah.
And which is nice to see because it does kind of make it kind of validates our obsession with the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, they're obsessed with it too, so that makes it fun.
Oh, and we got there an hour and a half before the show started, and the line was already a couple hundred people deep.
Oh,
yeah. We had been
about of a quarter of a mile long
yeah,
at that point.
Wrapped around the block. So we stopped, grabbed some dinner, ate it in line as we waited to go in. But it was so worth it.
And it was not the crowd I'd expected at all. Like, the crowd was mostly like 30-somethings.
30 and 40s, yeah.
Yeah. And I was really expecting, like, oh my God, it's going to be nothing but 16-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
And straight
and their
up,
parents.
It was like all like 30 and 40-somethings, and they just could not wait to see these kids.
Mostly so. Women.
And mostly women.
I would say 70% women.
Yes. Yes. I was so popular.
No, can you imagine what the Twilight show?
Vampire Diaries, you mean?
Well, no, I'm just saying like Twilight or Vampire Diaries, any one of those.
But there we go. Let's talk a little bit about the episode this week, Hell Oh. We opened with Gives You Hell. Ed, had you heard that song before? Actually, I had to look it up.
Of course I have. It's all over pop radio.
It's on the radio, Josh. That's why you didn't know it.
Yeah, I don't listen to the radio. That's an like, All-American Reject song, right? Yeah,
that is correct. I actually have that album. It's a fairly good album. Well, I mean, I have it. It's good. It's
I have
good.
The one before it. But yeah, it was. But when I found out it was All American Rejects, I thought that was kind of surprising to hear Lea Michele do essentially a pop punk song. Did she change it a lot?
No. It was just so funny that somehow they're in this room and somehow the background people all got that that weird reverb effect that's like large hall, and I'm like, okay, well, but see. I feel like that's funny because like when they were in the music room, which I thought was the library, but then they later referred to it as a music store.
Yes.
When they're in the music store and they were playing piano to Hello, and then like to the left, all of a sudden a bongo player and the violinist are just like, yo. And I just lulled at that. It was quite humorous.
Well, the show at this point, you know, we're in episode, what, 14 now. It's yes. definitely earned a certain level of suspension of disbelief, you know? And yeah. and they've committed to the suspension of disbelief all along. And now they're even starting to poke fun at it, like with the string quartet, or when Finn was having the conversation with Mr. Schuster. And he's like, oh, I was wondering why the band was here. Yeah. I mean, at this point, that's one of the things I like about it, is it's kind of like, it's realized, oh, people are going to go with us on this. Well, let's take them a little further then. Like, yeah. let's have a little fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. So we opened up with Gives You Hell, and the whole concept of this show this episode being Hello, and songs with Hello in them, and this being the welcome back from the show. So that was kind of nice after the long break that they recognized that it was a long break. I can't imagine though, if you were to watch this in succession and see one episode where Sue gets kicked off and then immediately the next episode is like, oh, and she's back. Like,
yeah.
Within the time span of the show, it has not been very long.
Well, you know what's interesting is actually this is the most viewed episode of Glee ever. This number 13. I mean, yeah, number
really?
14.
They were on Oprah, for God's sake.
They were at the White House.
Yeah, that's true too. The premiere only had 9 million viewers, like only. That's all they had. And this episode got 13 million. So there are 4 million people who became fans or that watched their first episode yesterday or this week. That's crazy to me.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, and the show did have a bit of a... There was kind of a vibe to it where if you hadn't watched the first 13, you could pretty much figure out what was going on right away.
Oh, yeah. Well, even if you didn't, there's so many new storylines and things are always so up in the air. It's just been crazy. But what's been crazy, I bought the season DVDs mm-hmm. and literally as soon as I get it back, I'm handing them out to someone else. To, like they're like, can I watch that? I'm like, yeah, you can have it. It's like literally like a queue of people want it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to some more music. This is, in this episode, Hello. Finn performed Hello, I Love You. Won't you tell me your name? And this was in the context of Finn rediscovering himself
as a rock star.
So here's a bit of Hello, I Love You.
Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. She's walking down the street, blind to every eye she meets. Do you think you'll be the guy to make the queen of the angels sigh? Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game.
And I continue to be charmed by Corey's incredible lack of danceability. And he's so committed to his movements and such, but the man can barely walk.
Oh, well, it was adorable that afterwards when Brittany says, I like the way you dance, and he's like, I barely move my feet. That was the best part.
Yeah. But so one of the big stories in this, or one of the big themes in this episode was kind of the men characters finding themselves apart from the female characters. And we did have Finn and Rachel. We open up with Finn and Rachel as a couple, and then Finn deciding to break up with her when he is essentially seduced by Santana and
Brittany
under Sue's continually controlling hand. What did you guys think of Finn and Rachel this episode? They're kind of an odd couple. Ed, did you have a Finn and Rachel read?
Well, I don't know. It seems like Glee is very much intent on not giving us a perfect situation. They leave us wanting perfect situations, but we're not allowed to have it. Much like life, where we can only pursue happiness and not actually obtain, that is Glee. It's just like oh, Emma and Schuster are finally together. Yay! Oh, it sucks. oh, Finn and Rachel are together finally. Yay!
True. They like to give us glimpses, but they always pull it back.
They're like, nope, you are not allowed to be happy just yet.
That's very true, but they're kind of an odd situation where she is seems very in love with him, and despite all of her madness keeps insisting, I understand you like nobody else does, and he's just kind of like, hey, I really like being around you because when I am, I'm not lonely. And it's a much simpler, but at the same time, I wonder if that's kind of the extent of what Finn has to offer in a relationship.
Yeah, I was thinking about that a little bit too, because everybody's going nuts over him, and he's a sweet guy, but he does seem very simple. And he's either just focused on football or focused on the Glee Club or focused on his girlfriend, but he doesn't seem to have much more going on.
Yeah.
And it seemed like when it first started off with them as a couple, I was like, wow, this is a bit of a severe leap, because, it was just, they were just, friends and, would kiss and so forth. But I don't know. I don't know how I felt about it, but at least he's starting to kind of come around and realize that, well, she's more than just company, and she's more than just somebody who is throwing herself at him.
Yeah.
He's starting to realize that there's something more, or at least he seemed to be.
Well, you do also kind of fit on, you kind of hit on one of my challenges with the entire Finn character is he doesn't really have a motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the whole essence of Finn, is that he doesn't know what he wants out of life and he doesn't quite know who he is yet. But I do think that if he doesn't figure that out, at least to a certain degree, he's going to get really annoying. Because in this episode alone, he starts off with Rachel, he breaks up with Rachel, he gets back together with Rachel, she doesn't want him, and by the end of the episode, I'm going to be fully committed to Rachel. And he had just as much motivation for, making the commitment at the end as he did for leaving her at the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be a push and pull. Ed, how great were Santana and Brittany in this episode?
Well, they're the stars. Like, who are these other people? Rachel, Finn? What? Who?
Here's how this works. Yeah. You buy us dinner, and then we make out in front of you. It's kind of the best deal ever.
Can you go to the car? Leave your credit card.
Exactly.
Oh my god. No,
sometimes
best part
I forget
that.
My middle name. That was another great Britney line.
No, I think Ed's about to say it.
Oh no, the best part was when they were about to throw away the spaghetti. Is that what you're gonna talk about?
Oh, yeah. No,
you go ahead.
I'm pretty sure you have to do what we tell you.
Yeah. Pretty sure. And Brittany's line, did you know dolphins are just gay sharks?
That is amazing. More than just the line itself, it was her conviction and it was Santana's processing it and not really sure how to take that. That scene was great.
I rewatched that just a couple of minutes ago, and it actually holds like a split second longer than it really should. Like, she gives the punchline, and then they just kind of sit there in silence for a moment, and Brittany kind of does this head nod, like, yep, totally.
Yeah.
We looked up that actor's name. Of course, I'm forgetting the actor's name. Heather Morris.
Yeah.
And she's so good at that character because she's not quite Phoebe, like big and spacey, but she totally underplays it for some reason, and it's so genuine. I mean, yeah, you're totally right, Ed. Like, they're starting to steal scenes, and it's getting a little weird.
Well, Brittany's been stealing the scene since day one.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, after I got over my love affair with Rachel, it was all about Brittany. Well, actually, for a little bit there, I was in love with Quinn, but whatever.
What was her line when she was talking to Sue, and Sue says, "You guys totally failed me." And she says, "We were seduced by the glitz and glamour of showbiz."
Showbiz, yes, exactly. the best line of the night, which I think, well, the most undervalued line of the night, because I didn't get it through the first, like, watching. It was in the previews, and I kept watching it over and over again. It's like, what did Kurt say? And then it was like, what do you say when you answer the phone? Hey, what up?
Who is me?
Oh, yeah. No, she's dead. This is her son.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I, like, rocked them out all over the place.
Oh,
it's kind of great.
Well, I watched it again for the third time this morning, and I, again, caught stuff that I didn't catch the first two times.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's, I mean, first of all, this episode was so dense with plot.
It was.
You know, songs and everything, but just, you know, their dialogue is just so fast and you know, they just keep going with it. It's awesome. What were you saying, Ed?
That's a good question. What was I saying?
Sorry.
I was just saying how it seems like they really up the ante, almost. Like, they're like, they're trying really hard to maintain this quirk level, and I definitely still enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But there was some people I was talking to were like, I got lots of feedback that this was somewhat of a disappointing episode. Hmm. I'm like every episode isn't going to be pilot. Every episode isn't going to be sectionals. Like, that's what I told people. Like, it was still really good. Like, you can't admit that it wasn't really good. It can't be the best episode every episode.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, for me, this was one of my favorites. I think it was just fantastic. Let's give a listen to a little bit more music. Jonathan Groff joined us this episode. He came from Spring Awakening, where he performed with Lea Michele. And they performed Hello together. So here is a bit of Jonathan Groff with Hello.
I've been alone with you inside my mind. And in my dreams, I've kissed your lips a thousand times. I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my arms are open wide, 'cause you know just what to say, and you know just what to do. And I want to tell you so much. I love you.
So Jonathan Groff, he's from Pennsylvania, and he plays Jesse St. James, the male lead of Vocal Adrenaline. I'd actually heard rumors that he and Lea Michele were dating for a while, but that was not true while they were in Spring Awakening. I really liked him. I thought he was perfect in the show. It was really fun to see somebody who could spar with Rachel in that way, and at the same time kind of put her in her place.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fantastic. I mean, I think he's a great, great sparring partner for the rest of this season. Ed, what did you think of Jonathan?
Okay, Jesse is one of the characters and one of the reasons why Glee is such a good show. Glee is not afraid to give us a strong personality, a strong character, someone like who's so different than every other player set in the game right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I love him. Like, he was like, I like want him to like spit in my face, and then I wanted to fall in love with him. Like, that's how I felt about him. Like, I was like, I don't know why, he was just so strong, even though I don't know, he's just so different. His strong personality comes through very well.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I mean, as far as male characters on the show, they do tend to be pushovers, either pushovers or caricatures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between Finn and Will, who kind of struggle to find any kind of self-importance, and then Puck, who kind of has such an overinflated view of himself that he becomes a caricature to a certain degree. I mean, this is a guy who is entirely sure in who he is and what he has to offer, and that he will be a star at a little place called the University of California in Los Angeles. It's in Los Angeles.
So, oh, really? Really?
So good. And his delivery is spot on. I mean, he doesn't have, I guess, well, from his page, from his Wikipedia page here, it doesn't list a whole lot of television, but his timing was dead on. I was really shocked.
Oh, he was great. It was fun to see that confident male person in this show, and also to kind of have Rachel a little bit in awe, and not just because, you know, he was cute,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, his talent, his assuredness, his, you know, and she said that, you know, I've met somebody who's my personal and professional equal,
uh-huh.
and it's true. I'm like, that's not something that she's been faced with before.
But even as she says that, I mean, he's the only one, it really, in the entire run of the show so far, he's the only one that's been able to put her in her place and been able to really make her step back and go, wait, do, you know, am I as talented as this guy? His great line, oh, I remember when I got nervous. And, and sometimes I like to perform for the homeless, you know, you got to give back.
Impromptu performances for the homeless.
So it is great, and I can't wait to see how they develop. They're going to continue their relationship in secret because the rest of the group rose up against her and said either break up with him or we're kicking you out, which had the great line where Mercedes said, we're not going to say he's playing you, and Kurt goes, he's playing you. But they're going to continue their relationship in secret, and he is, or at least that's the sense we're getting, he is actually playing her. And it appears that Idina Menzel, the leader of Vocal Adrenaline, the advisor of Vocal Adrenaline, is actually threatened by them, which is kind of exciting.
Oh, you think that she's threatened by New Directions?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant their relationship.
Oh, no.
The best part about all of this, that even though it seems as if Sue Sylvester has absolutely nothing to do with it, this will all somehow all come out to be her master plan. That is the best part about all of this. I don't even know how. She doesn't even know how yet. But she knows it's all part of her master plan.
Now, Ed, you love to speculate on the future of the show. So I want to know, what do you see as the future for Jesse St. James and Rachel Berry?
I imagine, they're probably going to, I always want some traumatic blowout scene that rarely happens, or they do some crazy editing so that it somehow works out and Finn just leaves a room after knocking down a chair or something. So I don't know how it's going to happen, but I feel as if I already know that Sue's going to somehow get Mercedes and Kurt on her side. And Terry's out there. Like she's in a force. And so is Sadie Ryerson. These are all pawns in Sue's game of chess. It's like the whole of Glee is a chessboard, and Sue and Will are the two players.
You must write the best fan fiction ever.
Wow.
No, I don't. I should, but no.
And Jennifer, Jesse St. James in the show, was it nice to have a strong kind of sexy man walking around on this set?
It was, I have to say. It was, you know, the other guys are very attractive too, but there was something that, you know, something about his confidence and his showmanship on the stage. It was a lot of fun to watch, but I don't know. I'm really torn because again, I watched it the third time today, and just watching them kiss on the stage and watching him just keep eye contact with Idina Menzel. And it's like, I couldn't tell if he was staring at her because he was thinking, oh no, I just got caught, or it's going the way it should. So I'm really conflicted because I want him to be, deep down, I want him to be the good guy. I want him to be, you know.
No, it's going the way it should because,
you want evil and destruction.
Idina Menzel's character, which I can't remember the name of, but Idina's character, she even admitting to lying to William Schuster. She even admitted it. So,
that's true. That's a very good point. She did admit that she knew who he was. Her name is Shelby. She admitted to knowing who he was, though she claimed it the first time. You have a very good point there. As far as Idina Menzel goes, though, you know, as a huge fan of hers, I have all of her albums, I have all of her cast recordings, but she has evil eyes. So I don't trust her whatsoever.
We know that there's going to be some big wicked coming out or somehow, because I've listened to new recordings from Kristen Chenoweth with Will Schuster. So there's hopefully going to be a great. I would love some huge fight to happen while they're both seeing popular. Maybe countered with the fact that Quinn and Rachel are seeing popular at the same time. With them and all four of them, and it's some awkward quartet and situation. Oh my God, it would be brilliant. But,
wow.
Well, we talked a lot about Jonathan Groff. Let's go ahead and listen to his solo. He performed Highway to Hell. Jennifer
Another
pointed out.
Hell.
You picked on Hell.
This is Jesse featuring Vocal Adrenaline. It isn't solo.
Oh, okay.
Vocal Adrenaline's my favorite band, and they deserve to win sectionals or regionals or whatever.
Boy, here is Vocal Adrenaline featuring Jesse J. James.
Living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride, don't need reason, don't need ride, ain't nothing I would rather do, going down, party town, my friends are gonna be there too, I'm on the highway to hell, on the highway to hell, highway to hell, I'm on the highway to hell, no stop signs, speed limit, nobody's.
So as all of this was going on, as we had Rachel and Finn and Jesse doing their thing, we also had Mr. Shu continuing his relationship, or lack thereof, with Emma. Emma Pillsbury. And such a good name. And that did not apparently go as planned. Obviously, they decided to take a break because Will is, as he admitted on the show, a little bit of a mess right now.
Yeah.
The whole scene where he met Idina Menzel and then was making out with her about 3 minutes later, that was quite a surprise.
In his apartment.
Yeah.
He just gets those ladies back to that apartment like nobody's business.
And that was a bit of a trip. I mean, he seems to be kind of a moral character, but that was just crazy, which I guess was just trying to draw accent to the fact that he's a bit out of his mind right now. Ed, what did you think of Will and Emma in this episode?
Well, I love Emma. I love Will. I love Emma, especially because, like, I need to be clean when I kiss you.
Yeah.
But what about that one time? You caught me by surprise. It was like a sneak attack. I definitely kind of like the dynamic between Will and Shelby, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And you know, I still love Terry, so it's, like, difficult. It's difficult. Like, I want them to be together, but not really. Like,
You want Will and Terry to be together?
Somehow. I mean, no, I want Will. Well, see, I want Will and Emma and Will and Terry. Fact is, they're both too good for him either way.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. I love Emma, though. It's just... They're gonna keep teasing us with this. This is like Rachel and Ross all over again. I don't even want to deal with it.
Well, the difference is that I actually see motivation for Will and Emma and their relationship for one another, where Rachel and Ross was just because they told us. But I think it's interesting, you know. To see them kind of get together and then break up and get together and break up is fascinating. To watch Emma be kind of this voice of reason, but the reason always seems to cause her pain. She's always trying to do the right thing, but the right thing is always like the worst thing for her. And it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely trying to be adult about this and follow her head, not her heart, because, well, when she was... her last relationship, she was following her head and not her heart, and that got her stood up at the altar. I don't know. It was interesting to see a stronger, more confident, more assured person in relating to Will in the role of Shelby. Again, there was somebody else who was a little bit more confident, and in a way, like he was drawn to that because he's so clueless. He wants somebody to tell him. Well, he even said that in the show, but he wants somebody to tell him what to do.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to tell you how to live your life. Be my guest.
Yeah.
Were you saying something, Ed?
Maybe, but I can't think of it, so just move on.
Okay. So it was a little odd. We had that sparring session between Emma and Terry, which I thought Emma held up pretty well. I was actually surprised by how well she pulled that one off. Though I have to admit, as a guy, and maybe Jennifer, you can go ahead and tell me I'm crazy, but I thought she kind of overreacted a little bit on the whole Hello being their prom theme, like all these years ago that Will didn't even remember. But I guess she kind of saw it as symbolic of bigger things.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally, I mean, it is just creepy. And I mean, she had a really good point. She said that when she was saying how, I don't want you to have to put up with my craziness just to be with me right now, because you don't want to be alone, just like you did putting up with all of Terry's craziness all those years,
because
you didn't want to be alone. I mean, he hasn't been alone since he was 15 years old. That's kind of crazy.
It's very true. I mean, but to a certain degree, do we want, like, I don't know if I want to sit through, you know, a certain quantity of episodes of him and Emma trying to be friends and like awkward silences and stuff. Like it was kind of nice to just have some fulfilled desire for at least a little while. I would have,
well,
minded,
like with any storyline in Glee, in 3 episodes, Will Schuster will have found self-fulfillment and himself 4 times over. So it's like, don't be too concerned.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, the show doesn't take itself seriously. I mean, it does. Okay, that's the wrong word. It takes itself seriously, but it doesn't take anything too concretely. So everything's up in the air. Don't be worried. We're in like this weird nebulous state.
And it moves awfully quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not concerned with what people consider traditional or reasonable timelines.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like true. when you know, Finn and Rachel are, you know, a couple at the beginning of this episode. It was a little startling. But then again, it's like, you know, most of it was in her head. I love when she made the calendar and he's like, I'm allergic to cats.
Did you see the calendar was a picture of them with their heads on cats?
Yes.
I thought that was awesome. And then at the end, when he's trying to make up with her, he's like, I decided I want to be with you. I've even got your crazy calendar up here in my locker to know when we're supposed to be together. Oh, that's awesome.
So good.
But yeah, they're not, I think the show is kind of like, it either won't or just doesn't care to wait for the, you know, what everybody else considers a reasonable amount of time for things to happen.
That's true.
Well, this show, like, basically prides itself on the fact, like, it's like, even though lots of things are cliche, but the whole concept of the show was like, surprise, shock value. And like, it's just how it is.
And they like to pack as many cliches into a small amount of time as possible. And that kind of makes them more fun.
Oh, it's definitely more satisfying in some ways. I mean, you know, if in a couple of years we're still watching it and they're still doing the same thing, we're going to get a little annoyed at how convenient
that's concerned
it's going to be.
I already know what's going to happen with this.
don't ruin it.
It's okay. Sue Sylvester's the puppet master. We get it.
No. Glee is going to not win regionals. They just have to place. That was very specific because that's going to be next year's storyline. They're going to go to nationals. But then after that, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're a little concerned to themselves. Well, I'm concerned for them.